That's what this series is about. What we've been talking about the last 2 weeks and what we're talking about this morning, taking, just saying, God, take my life, let it be all for you, not for me, not for how I look, not for what my other people think about me, not for performing for the adults in my life. I want it to be for you, God, and your glory, not mine, no one else's. It's called Shape Up and Ship Out. And we've been talking about finding your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your unique personality, your experiences, taking that and applying it on a mission. We've been talking about the idea of treating church and your life more like a battleship and less like a cruise ship. We had this little checklist that we went through where a cruise ship, you're concerned about good music and entertainment, about comfort and relaxation, about fun activities and good service. And so many people waltz into church expecting that. But really, church is supposed to be more like a battleship. And church is more than just meeting on Sunday mornings. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And that everywhere we go, if you're a believer, you're connected to other believers as a part of the church. And so church is about connecting with your captain, about being convicted. You know, we talked about April's Bible verse. You can leave that checklist up. April's verse was about all scriptures inspired by God. All right? And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So you come here and you go, teach me what's true, make me realize what's wrong. And I want to be on a battleship where there's a clear and noble mission that I can be a part of with an opportunity to serve others. And we talked about this idea. I'm just reviewing so everybody's caught up if this is your first time here. We talked about this idea that most people, most of you guys, are bored at church. And maybe one reason why you're bored, even though we play Dr. Helium's Balloon Adventure, and we talk to guys in Chicago and show videos that he puts together, and even though there's ping pong and pool and foosball and video games and donuts and all that stuff out there, you're still kind of bored, especially right now. And maybe it's because you're treating it like a cruise ship and instead of a battleship and an opportunity to learn and grow and be a part of a mission. Because you don't treat this like a battleship, you don't treat the church like a battleship, and you don't treat your life like a battleship. I guarantee you, the people that have the most fun at Watermark are those of you that serve in Starting Blocks, in On Your Mark, in Crossroad. There's a ton of you guys that do that. Or Cooper Wagner just served on the parking team this morning. They're out there, and you're greeting people, you're welcoming people. You're a part of the mission to love not yourself, but the next 100 people that walk through these doors. The people on the tech team, the people in the band, have a lot more fun. Even though they're here at 7 a.m., I guarantee you they have a lot more fun than if they just came and filled a spot. So church is a battleship. 2 weeks ago, we started off talking about wake. How can you treat this meeting at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings like a battleship? Last week, we talked about all of Watermark. What are ways that you can find a station on the battleship? Today, we're talking about where you spend most of your time, and that's the rest of your life. At school, at home, with your friends, in your extracurricular activities. How can you treat your whole life like a battleship? I know some of you guys, even with your phones and your iPods and your computers and everything, you still say, maybe even this weekend, so bored. Maybe you're bored in life because you think life is supposed to be a cruise ship when really it's a battleship and we're at war. I want to show you a clip of someone who treated their entire life like a battle. This is the beginning, how they got in the game, how they joined the war, all right, and then lived the rest of their life that way. And I want you to think about yourself. Maybe you're at the beginning of some changes and you're getting ready to get on a battleship. Check out this clip.
up and away, Web! Shazam! Go! Go! Go, Web, go!
There's the Spider-Man. Any Spider-Man fans?
Yes.
I am a huge Spider-Man fan. He's one of my favorite. Well, he is my favorite superhero. And here's why, right? I love Spider-Man. Like, I'm wearing Spider-Man tights right now under my clothes, as far as you know. And I do that every day. And I have Spider-Man jammies. And, yeah. Okay. So, I love Spider-Man. And here's why. Because he's just like a regular guy. And then all of a sudden, he gets injected with these superpowers. All right, he's not Superman. He's not an alien from another planet that has had all these powers from birth. He's not Bruce Wayne, who's like already rich and powerful and then has this vendetta. Or like Iron Man, who's like this rich, kind of cocky jerk guy. Like, he's just this normal kid. And I loved Spider-Man when I was a kid, especially because he was just a young high school kid. And then all of a sudden, he has this extraordinary power. And here's why I love him. That kind of like rings in my heart. Because I want to be that kind of guy. Like, I know that I'm a normal guy. I know there's really not that much special about me. But I long to do something extraordinary and to have some sort of extraordinary power. And here's what I've discovered since I became a Christian when I was 10 years old. And as I've read the Bible, and I've gone to Bible studies, and I've heard people teach, I've realized that I am a lot more like Spider-Man than I give myself credit for. No, I can't climb walls and jump from building to building, and I only shoot webs out occasionally. But I am an ordinary person with extraordinary power, and you are too. And this is the message this morning. You are ordinary kids with extraordinary power. I told you I was going to talk about what happened after Easter. But just let that soak in for a second. You are ordinary kids with extraordinary power. Let it soak in on another level. Same partner that you prayed with, same partner you studied the memory verse with. Turn to them. Wait, don't say it both at the same time. Take turns. Look them in the eye and say, "You are an you're an ordinary kid with extraordinary power," and you got a little booger right there, okay? So go ahead and say that to your friend real quick. All right, here's the deal. If you saw a booger and you didn't say it, just pat the ground twice right now and they'll know. Oh my gosh. That many of you guys saw boogers? Now everybody's like, "Oh no." It's so true, okay? Check out what happened after Easter. Okay, so Easter, if you don't know, if you have no clue, it's where Jesus Christ, God's Son, on Good Friday, he was crucified, he was killed on a cross, and then on Sunday morning, they went to see him in his grave and he was gone. And then, after that, the grave is empty. Jesus rose from the dead. He starts going and hanging out with his disciples and many other followers that had followed him. About 500 people witnessed Jesus after he had risen. And here are some excerpts of what he said to them in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is the last thing he says to them before he goes back to heaven. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. So the last thing Jesus says to his followers, which, by the way, is you and me. All right, if you follow Jesus, the words that he speaks to his disciples are the words that he speaks to us. This passage and another one I'm not going to show you, but another one when he calls Peter to follow him at the beginning to be his disciple, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then something like this. This is what motivates me and drove me from about the age of 12 on to be involved ministering in other people's lives, because I feel like as a follower of Christ, that's what he calls us to do. Don't just follow me and try to be a better person. Follow me and become a fisher of men. This isn't about you. This is about me loving people who are now far from me. I want to bring them back. And Jesus left, but he left all of his followers and he gave us a job to do, but he didn't give us a job to do alone. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. All right? The Holy Spirit is God with you all the time. And if you're a Christian, you've got it. Matthew 28 says this. Jesus came. This is another recounting of right before he leaves in Matthew. Jesus came to his disciples and he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. All right? That's power. Therefore, go and make disciples. That means make other followers of Jesus, of all the nations. You baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You teach these people to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Again, ordinary guys. His followers were not extraordinary people, but Jesus gave them extraordinary power. Paul says it like this to the young man Timothy. You are young men and women. Look at what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. God's not given us a spirit of timidity, being timid, being shy, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You might be a shy person, but God has given you his spirit, and the spirit is not shy. It's powerful, it's loving, and it's self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either. Paul's saying this to Timothy, even though I'm in prison with him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. God has given us strength. God has given us a spirit of power. You have not been injected by the poison of a little spider. No, no, no. That's weak stuff. You've been injected with the spirit of God, the creator of the whole universe. You have that power at your disposal. And yet we're still timid because we have not given ourselves and yielded ourselves to that powerful spirit that God has given us. So if you want to be extraordinary, don't make a ton of money, don't get great grades, don't date the best looking person. You want to be extraordinary, tap into the power that God has given you. You're ordinary people, but you have extraordinary power. So here's the application. And I'm going to give you some real life application, all right? Matt and Philip, Sarah, come on up here. Here's the application. Just like Spider-Man, he climbed up the wall, he ran and jumped over, then he figured out he could shoot some webs. I mean, he has this extraordinary power. It would freak me out if I was him. He stands up on the edge of the building, he knows he can't jump that far, he shoots the web, he doesn't even know if it can hold his weight. The web hits the crane, and he just jumps. He takes the leap. Listen, you'll never know what the power of God is like until you test it, until you put it into practice. So the application for each one of you is to this week figure out a way that you can take the leap, that you can trust God's power and allow you to share God's word and God's truth with someone else. It could just be one other person, or it could be 100 people, or it could be 10,000 people. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is that you take the leap and you go, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You say I have this power, let me have it. You know, in Luke 12, Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, if you're standing before people and you don't know what to say, guess what? My Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say, even if you don't know what to say. Test it. Put it to the test. So these people have, and I want you to hear their stories. All right, so I'll let these guys go first. You guys introduce yourselves, and then they're going to tell you. I turned it off. Okay, there you go.
Hello.
They're going to introduce themselves and then tell you about how they have seen God's power work through them. All right? So they didn't come to me asking me, say, hey, we want to come brag. I said, hey, I want you to come tell your story about how God's power worked through you. So you guys, go ahead. Take it away.
All right. I'm Philip Todd. I'm a senior, and I go to Highland Park High School.
My name is Matt Galvin. I'm also a senior at HP. But we're just been blessed to have David give us an opportunity just to share with y'all how God's used us at our high school, and we're involved in a ministry that we actually run at our high school, and it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. And basically what it is actually started by some Watermark guys about 3 or 4 years ago. These guys were meeting for breakfast every week, and they're just living in community and really diving in God's word. And they said, you know, how can we take this idea of just living in God's word and take it out and bring it to the guys of our high school? And so they started a ministry 4 years ago, a couple Watermark guys did. And so Phil and I have been blessed to help lead that. And the Lord's taught us a whole lot about leading and just, you know, what he can do. And so I'll have Phil share with you real quick.
Yeah, well, like, the really interesting part about it is that my freshman year, we came into the high school, I moved from a different school, and these guys kind of just started pouring into my life that were juniors and seniors in the high school, and they were the ones who started the Iron Sharpens Iron Club. And so they started leading a core group, is what we called it, like every other week, usually. I try and meet every week, but couldn't always meet. And so they poured into my life when I was a freshman, sophomore, and I just gained a lot from that. And then going into my junior year, I got the opportunity to do the same thing with, like, a group of freshman guys. And so I've been leading them for 2 years, and I think that's even impacted me more. And it's not always going to be easy. Like he said, you just got to take the leap of faith and go out there. And the first couple times we met, no one showed up at all. And so it was just me and my other leader. But we kind of had to change the times around and stuff, but it's been going really well now. It's just been really helpful.
So you jumped off the edge of the building, you swung, and you hit the wall.
Yeah, so...
But Spider-Man didn't give up,
no,
right?
He did not.
And you didn't either.
So, it's. I'm glad I didn't just throw in the towel there, but because I've really enjoyed getting to know these couple of guys and been meeting with them. They've actually impacted my life a lot, and so that's been good.
Yeah, another cool thing, you know, the Lord has really taught me is just, you know, and trying to, you know, set stuff up and get stuff done. And a lot of times, you know, I've got a plan. I say, hey, we need to do this. But the Lord's really taught me, you know, it's his plan that's going to fall through. You know, a lot of times I say, I want to do this. But, you know, I think the Lord has really said, you know what, let's do it my way. And so I've been taught, you know, kind of this year and last year, and just that the Lord's got it under control. But we just need to really trust on his guidance that he'll come through. And, you know, I challenge all of y'all just today, you know, you can be leaders at y'all's school. You know, there needs to be Christian guys, you know, how it doesn't matter how old are y'all, that, you know, steps up to the plate and isn't afraid to be bold in their school for Christ and isn't afraid to lead others. So I challenge y'all today, you know, you can be an impact at your school. There's a verse in 2 Timothy that says, do not look down on others because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and love and purity. So, you know, I just encourage you all to be bold and step out and lead others.
Okay, two quick questions before you wrap up. One, you're in a public school. So I guess it's really one question, but the one question is, how have people responded to a Christian club in the school? And really, have you seen people that maybe aren't super close to God come closer to him because the club exists? And then two, have you taken any heat from people you get made fun of or anything like that?
All right, so basically I've been in a big public high school with like 500 plus people per grade, and so it's pretty easy to tell who's walking with Christ and who's not. And this just iron sharpens iron. Like, not everyone that's in the club is at the beginning. They might not know Christ at all, and we just encourage everyone to come. But then towards, like, once you get devoted and get into a core group and get to know Christ, it just really changed my life, and I think that's been good.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's really hard, especially in high school, just to walk the halls and live your faith out. And, you know, daily we're challenged. I can just tell you on my part, and I know for Phil, that there's people that you come up to me and say, you know, what are you doing? What's this all about? And, you know, we just get a great opportunity to share with them right there, you know, the gospel. But it's not easy, just like that Spider-Man video, you know. There's a lot of times when we fall flat on our face, and it's not fun, but part of the thing is Christ calls us to push on, and so it's definitely something that's definitely not easy. There's nights that, you know, I don't want to go on, but, you know, because the Lord has called us to be bold in our faith, that it's just a great challenge to me to continue on.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. Let's hear it for Matt and Philip. You guys can have a seat. I'm going to hand the microphone over to Sarah, but first, you know, they said, these guys, by the way, I don't know, they said this in their introduction, but they went to Wake all the way through. Were you guys ever in Wake when it was over at the high school? You were, right? J. Crew is what we used to call it. And so they did 6th, 7th, and 8th here with this group, just like you guys, even when we were over at Lake Highlands High School. And they've been in a small group since 6th grade. They're seniors getting ready to graduate. And it's just a neat thing also seeing their community. But they said, hey, you don't have to wait till you're in high school to do this. Everybody needs somebody to step up and take the lead. And Sarah, I think, is one of those people. All right, she's one of those people in this group that I hear about from her small group leaders. She's one of the people in the group that comes up almost every week after the message and has something to ask or to say about it. And as I've gotten to hear about her and then interacted with her right up here and from the stage, you know, I've just discovered that she's one of the people that's kind of doing what these guys are doing, but she's just in seventh grade. And it looks a little different. So tell them about your adventure with I Am Second.
Hey, guys. How are you? Well, at my school...
Go ahead and introduce yourself first. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm Sarah. I'm in seventh grade. And a couple of months ago, here at Watermark in the big church, on Monday nights, me and my group got together, and we were sitting down on the couches, and we were just talking, and this guy walks over, and he had the I Am Second shirt. And I asked him, I said, are you in I Am Second? And he said, yes, I am. And he started talking to us more about his group and how it can impact on other people's lives. And then he said we could start one at our school. So that gave me an idea of how I could start one at my school. So I went home and I got a piece of paper out, and I just put little categories on my piece of paper, your name, your number, your email. And then I went to school, and each of my friends, I asked them and talked to them about it, and they said that they wanted to do it too. And then more people kept coming up and asking us what we were talking about. And it turned into this really big thing, and I had at least 12 people sign up, and it was really big. Well, every week I would email them a verse or something I knew about Jesus and how it could help others and that kind of thing. And they never emailed me back. But after a while of doing that for a couple weeks, I started getting kind of tired of doing it. I didn't want to do it, and that was Satan trying to get me. And finally, I just ran into the wall like Spider-Man. I just wanted to quit. And then one of the girls in my classes, she was talking to me about her life and how she just really doesn't have God in her life. Her life is really complicated, and she just needs somebody to be there for her. And I started talking to her about Jesus, and then she said that I don't sin. And I said, I do sin. I do sin, and we all sin. She said, but you do sin, but you do the good kind. And I said, there is no good, there is no bad kind. It's sin. I said, you sin, you do something wrong, and it's sin. And so I went to Monday night, small group, and I talked to my leaders about it, and they gave me a verse from It says Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And this just showed me that it is true that we all sin. And so I went to the girl the next day and I told her, I said, see, this is true. And so I shared the verse with her. I shared a couple more with her. And she's still kind of lacking God, but she's becoming more better at it. And I just thought that was really good.
And tell them what she said when she said, like, oh, nobody cares or nobody.
She said that she started talking to me about her life. And then she said, wait, you probably don't care. You probably just are trying to listen to me because you're bored. And I said, well, no, I do care. I said, and God cares too. And then that became a big conversation about how God died on the cross and what he did for us, and he loves us, and he is there for us, and that's exactly what happened.
All right, so this one, right, it's so simple. She took a piece of paper, said write your name, your email, and your phone number, and I'm going to send you encouraging verses on email or text or whatever, and we're going to call it a club. That's pretty easy to do. You talked to some teachers about it first, made sure they were cool and it was okay. And then even though she kind of faded out on sending the emails over time, she continued to build a real relationship and is having an impact on this girl's life. All right? Simple things, just one person doing something, taking the leap, can make a huge difference. No telling what impact those verses had on the people that read them and how they were encouraged. She did say she noticed a difference earlier when we were talking in people's lives. All right? So that's what Sarah did. What are you going to do? All right? You want to talk to Matt and Philip? I asked them to hang around up here. You want to talk with Sarah? She'll hang around up here for a little bit. But go to your small groups this week and try to figure out ideas. How can we treat our lives like a battleship? What can we do to use the power that God has given us to tell others the good news about Christ? Shape up and ship out. All right? Let me pray, and I've got one announcement before we get out of here. Lord, I thank you so much for Philip and Matt and their obedience to you, and for Sarah and the way she boldly proclaims your word to her friends. I pray that that would multiply and that your spirit would work in the lives of everyone in this room as we yield ourselves to you and we get out of the way and let you go to work. In Jesus' name, amen.